We're in the process of building a teaching platform called windwork.org, and you will be the first group of people who are actually going to be having their coursework over on that. So after this class today, I'm going to invite you over there, and maybe within the next day, I'll be adding you all to the website, but you're going to have to sign in and log in and do all of that. And that's where you'll be accessing the recordings of this. And you'll also get to see some of the other classes that we have recorded. But our one of our goals in 2021 was to get a really good recording of all of our classes. And today, this Win Knot for Power and Prosperity is actually introducing some new wind technology to help with this the power and the prosperity of the wind. And we're going to have a conversation here about what is power. I forgot to talk about what is prosperity, but for me, prosperity is that you're doing work that you love and that you're in a congruency with your life, that you can have meaningful ideas, that you can actually launch, that you're emotionally regulated in your life. One of the biggest causes that people can't have what they want is because of emotional deregulation, which means we can't manage and work with our emotions. And that doesn't mean you can't have emotions. It means that the emotions have to be, oh, that's just a feeling. Okay, well, I've seen that feeling before. All right. And that you can take that pause to step back long enough to respond and not let it run you. Like when I was first, in my 20s, I was very early into the psychiatrist's office, and the psychiatrist told me when I went into rage, I should turn around and look to see who just hurt me. Because at that time, I was so emotionally dysregulated that I couldn't see the connection between my rage and my feelings being hurt. And hopefully over time, I've gotten better with that, but not always. If I'm tired, if I'm angry, if I'm lonely, all of those things, hungry, you know, sometimes they'll creep in, or if I've just worked an extra long week, and I don't even really know that, oh, yeah, that just happened again. It happens less and less frequently. Can you hear me? Okay. I just want to make sure. All right. So if you can't hear me, there might be something on your volume, so Bridget could help with that. Our emotions are regulated. And one of the things, and we're going to talk just a little bit about it, but this isn't the wind work basics. We're going right into the wind knots here, is that you also can harvest what you've sown, you know, so that you can actually go to the, like last night, I was very excited, cooked dinner, pulled the carrots from my garden, pulled the cauliflower, and had vegetables from my garden. So to me, that's a very successful way to know that I was prosperous last night, because I could physically go out to my garden and get some food. Now, it could be way bigger than that, like having 25 new students in the wind work class today. But one of the things that we forget to do is just to be grateful for the cauliflower and the carrots we can take out of our garden at any given time. And then really prosperity for me is when there's a community buy-in, when the community is supporting my work. You know, you could have the greatest idea and, you know, be emotionally regulated, you know, having a good harvest, but your idea isn't growing corn in the community. It's not feeding your community. It may be for somebody else, but you're not getting that support. So to me, the idea of prosperity isn't 100K or a new house. I mean, those are all great things. And I just got done building a tiny house. So I do like the physical manifestations of the rewards for the hard work that I've put in. But prosperity for me today is just as exciting to go grab the strawberry out of the garden as it is to have, you know, a new pair of shoes. And when we get to that place, it's kind of funny when we start to appreciate, you know, the light from the candle, you know, the light from spirit multiplies in our life. So if you're here because you want to, you know, get the 100K or the, you know, the new home or all of that, this probably will be a good place to start. But that's kind of not the kind of magic that I'm hoping to have transcend in this gathering today. It is a gathering of shamanic peoples. I don't know if you're shamans or how you identify. I don't know how you identify. And in this group, we try to identify in a way that is respectful of all other things in the world. And I often don't get that right. So forgive me right up front if I say things that offend you. I'll try not to. But, you know, if you have some smudge, if you have a candle, hopefully you've made yourself turned off your phone and all of that. And I'd just like to start by smudging the area a little bit. So a lot of you have never taken a class with me before, so you might have heard me on the Shaman's Cave or another way, but I'm kind of irreverent. And really, I'm known as the practical shaman, but the practical shaman is really kind of redundant because really all shamanism is practical. It was concerned with, you know, the health and well-being of the community, the livestock, making sure there was longevity, and also the spiritual, emotional, and physical healing of the tribe. And one time I was up on the mountain in Salkantay, and it was really cold. Let me just tell you, it was really, really cold. And we were going to do this despacho ceremony, which is a give back. And the Pacos were in there laughing and having some rum. And I was getting madder and madder at the moment because I was really cold, first of all. And second of all, it was like, this is a ceremony. Let's get serious. And the truth is the word enlightenment is enlighten up. So they laughed and they had this whole thing going on. And so what we did was, what I've learned to do is like, wow, I need to lighten up. So we generally, where'd that go? Huh. Oh, I guess I'm at the end. Wait a second. Wait a second, my slides are all off. All right. There's something with my slides. All right. So one of the things we'll do when we get there is when we open this really sacred space, we're going to laugh. And we laugh as a community and we undo our things, our mute buttons, and we laugh. Because I've learned enlightening up and laughing is just such powerful medicine. The other day, somebody in one of my other advanced classes didn't realize that this was shamanism, that these practices are shamanic in nature, that we actually actually mediate with spirits in order to achieve the power and the results that we want. And so shamans know that if they travel outside of time and space, and the whole notion of wind work is really moving out from a linear landscape of time into a more sacred cyclical landscape that was our inherent nature before we started to divide by and I say this because there's a lot of new people that we started to speak the same religious languages. And so before that, people spoke the same community languages. And then all of a sudden, we started to, we went from outdoors living in nature into the indoors with doors and wind eyes. And all of a sudden, we went from having a direct revelation of nature into having a, where we needed an intermediary. And the intermediaries became the priests and the, you know, community leaders and things like that. So we lost connection with absolutely listening to the wind. And so when I first started to write Winds of Spirit, the one of the first working titles, there was many, was When God Was Wind. And if you go through all the different traditions, Ruach is a wind, Nirvana is a no wind, the Holy Spirit is a wind, Om is a wind, it's all wind. And in order to get people speaking the same new languages, the winds became bound and tied into different theologies and cosmologies. And what happened was those intermediaries started to tell us what happened, and we'd listen to them for advice. And even in my own life, for years, I mean, I must have spent thousands and thousands of dollars on psychics over the course of the years, looking for somebody to tell me what my next steps were, what I was going to do, how I was going to do it. And what I realized was, once about 2 years into the book, that I wasn't calling anyone anymore, because I would go out and take a wind walk, which is something we cover in our Wind Work Basics, which we will be offering in October. It is that you go outside in nature, you ask the wind for direction, and you can see videos on this and how to do this, but you go outside in nature and you ask the wind a question. And as you start to develop your relationship with these wind spirits, you'll get your answers. So truthfully, I haven't called, you know, a psychic for information in a very, very long time. I do have a couple of friends that, you know, we trade card readings with every once in a while, but it's more almost like for validation. But now I will get direct revelations. In fact, the more and more I go, I realize this book was pretty much a direct revelation with a lot of research to back up those direct revelations. And I'd learn more and more about what was really revealed in between these words and in between these pages. And I don't say that like that I'm some powerhouse. I'm thinking like, wow, how lucky I am that I was listening that day. So one of the things that wind knots, and they date back to the Lap sailors, is that they are a way of accumulating and storing power. So it's really nice. So, you know, you have those really days where you feel really, really powerful, but then another day where you feel a little lethargic. Well, wouldn't it be nice to have, you know, a wind knot that you could undo and give yourself a little bit of extra juice? And that's what the sailors use these for. They would go to the wind witches. The wind witches would tie them a strand of knots for a particular sailing trip, and then they would have these knots, and then they would untie them to the degree that they needed power. And the first one was for just a gentle breeze. The second one was when they needed a little extra oomph, like maybe they were caught in the doldrums, which is the place of no wind. And then the third one would be, you know, all hell could break loose, because it would be, everything would be turned upside down. And everyone said, well, why would I ever unleash that third wind knot? Well, sometimes your life needs to be turned upside down so you can turn right side up. And there's these knots that can help empower you to do that. And a lot of times I find with beginning wind knot tires is that they hold on to that third wind knot for so long that the wind will untie it itself. And trust me, there's a lot of people in here who could tell you. Yeah. In fact, this morning in our 10-month program, we made prayer flags for every month where we actually pulled a wind spirit card, which, again, we're not going to talk a lot about these today. because we're only have 2 hours for this. And the and there, lo and behold, there's a wind knot that was untied on my we tied a prayer flag for each month and then a wind knot for each wind as well. And I went out there and a couple had been untied without me even being over there. So I don't know if the cat did it or the deer did it or the wind did it. But, you know, sometimes spirit has a hand in all of this, always has a hand in all this. Now, if we stay in an integrity with all of that, what I was talking to you about, those, that medicine wheel, which I'll go into a little bit further, a little bit deeper, then the power in that you're using is going to be in alignment with hopefully your highest and best good at all times. And so one of the things we're going to look at today is how do we use our power? Because we all have our power, but whether or not we're always using it well is left to be seen. And we're gonna see that today, because later on we're actually gonna take a journey to see how we transact power. So a little bit of housekeeping, and then we'll, you know, dive right into the whole ceremonial part, and hopefully everyone should be here by then, is that we have an apprenticeship program, and I would love if, Bridget, you would pick two people who are in our apprenticeship program just to give like 1 minute of what they've gotten from this apprenticeship, because our application for next year's 10 months apprenticeship is opening soon. Last night, I got an email from one person in our group that said, it is so powerful that I'm retaking it again next year. And so it's been a combination of teaching every month. The people who want to teach it hold space for, you know, these monthly meetings, and we've had guest speakers come in. But I would just like to hear it from maybe one person now and maybe one person later who really has had a life-changing experience with the apprenticeship program.
Kat, would you be willing to hop on here? Oh, Angie raised her hand too.
Okay, Angie would be good.
So I'm not really a wind person when I started, and I had no idea what the wind was, and I was totally clueless. And it just changed my life. I moved to a tropical island. I reassessed my relationships with people that I was close to. I've started a new business. I found that in my life, I had no joy. I was not living a life of joy. It just exploded on so many levels, and I'm only in month 7. It's just been a miraculous, life-changing experience on an individual personal level, but also in a community level. So I'm very appreciative to Renee and the Wind Clan and all the winds that have come forward. And it's just been a truly transforming experience on a personal level, work level, and everything else. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Angie. And we'll, at the end, we'll ask if there's somebody else who would want to share too. Love to hear. Kat's had some pretty awesome experience as well. So we're going to do it again next year. It's been so powerful. And then right before the class, we have a fall retreat in Denmark, Maine. And there's now going to be a waiting list to join us, but it's going to be an amazing wind-filled experience. And we probably will do and offer some of it out as virtual as well. We're working on the logistics for that as how we go. All right. If you need to take a break today, take a break. And there might be a break where I'm going to have to take a break. And because there's there's like deliveries to an island are very strange. And I try to organize it afterwards. And if they come, like, I'm going to have to take a break, because otherwise it'll be another week before I get something. So that might be a forced break, and Bridget can step in. So I will do a fall wind work basics, and I will let you all know when that is. It's going to be in October after the wind retreat. And then also mark your calendars, because we will be doing a fire tenders gathering. And if you have something to teach and something to share, we're going to be doing a call for people who want to do that. But if you've never done our fire tenders gathering for 7 to 10 days, people hold altar spaces for each other. And so it's the community that does the work, because all of the reason that I do this and all of the reason that we're here is to build community, because we need each other. We need our communities. It's very, very important that we have that space together, and that especially with like viruses and things that are here to stay, that we need to go back to basics, back to our communities, back to where we can actually make a difference. And that's why I teach, that to help people build communities and build, you know, stronger tools for resilience in your life to navigate these changing winds. Okay. So before we open up the sacred space, I just want to say that this is the process we're going to be today. We're going to prepare our tools and space. We're going to move from linear into sacred time, and we're going to do that with an opening prayer and laughter. Then we're going to look at our relationship to power. Then we're going to do some magic where we're going to call upon the winds of spirit. Then there's a technical aspect of tying the ropes. Then we're going to talk about storing your power. And then we'll move into magic and miracles. So that's pretty much the format for today. Are there any questions before we get started? Can you put them in the chat? And Bridget can ask me at various times. But let's start. Again, it's some of the deeper teachings, but they're for the last, maybe 14,000 years, we moved into this place where human beings became the commodities, where we were human doing. I mean, so it's a little bit like this wind work is really at the basics of something that might take another 250 years or longer to change, unless, you know, there's some like a cataclysmic event, which we're hopefully trying to outsmart, that where we moved to the cycles of nature automatically, because when it got dark in the winter and cold, we would go inside. There would be less daylight. When the Inuit, they knew when the ice was starting to melt, where they would move from their winter home on the ice tundra to their summer home, you know, where they could grow, where their vegetation would grow, and that they could grow enough food for the seasons. You know, we become so out of sync that when I was a kid, I could find my way in any new town, give me a week. Well, the other day we were over there navigating over the mainland, this town, this little town of Everett. And, you know, we're listening to Siri, going around in circles. You know, we've lost our maps. And our maps used to be a lot more ingrained to us. So establishing your connection with the wind and these sacred cycles of time and space can help you learn to renavigate. So I didn't put it as a deepening exercise, but a deepening exercise would be going into a new town, maybe with a paper map, instead of the turn-by-turn instructions with Siri or whoever else you might use for your directional space, and learning to reorientate yourself into the world. Because I just can't help but think how lost we're all going to be the day that the internet really goes down and we can't find our way to the grocery store anymore, because we've turned over our power. One more place we've turned over our power. You know, we started doing it 12,000 years ago when we turned over our power of interpreting nature to, you know, the priests and the rabbis and, you know, those who were in charge. And now we've turned over our navigation to, you know, a mechanism of a phone. So we're really lost. We're really out of sync. And it's really time that we start to use these wind tools to get ourselves back into harmony. It's just that so simple. I numbered it so that you could understand the processes that when you go back through these slides, that you get the sense of, okay, when I'm moving into nature, this is what I'm going to do. We're moving towards the sacred. We're moving towards the cyclical. We're going to step outside of the human doing into the human being for this next bit of time. And what we're going to do is we're going to laugh together. When's the last time you laughed and had a good belly laugh? So I invite everyone, and a friend of mine used to say, if you think anyone's looking at you when you're laughing or singing, close your eyes, because really they're not. Most people are really mostly concerned with themselves. And so if you think we're all, you know, judging the quality of your laughter, keep your place on mute. But for those brave souls who are getting ready to get in the boat with us and launching towards this wind knot, unmute yourself. And, or Bridget, you could unmute people. And let's laugh. Oh, Michelle, you can do it. People thinking, oh my God, these people are. I must have signed up for the wrong class. Oh, no. I'm calling on the divine winds, Eurus of the East. Notice of the South. Zephyrus of the West. And Boreas of the North. Be here with us today. Help us navigate our lives. Help us remember that the wind feeds us, the wind renews, the wind is prosperous, and the wind loves to hear our laughter. The wind reveals and the wind expands. The wind is generous, that all life and all creation begins with the wind. The wind offers us a sweet, sweet melody. Thank you, winds. Thank you for being here today. We are grateful for this experience and for this teaching and this amazing blessing and all of these new wind believers. Aho. Bridget, you might just want to go through and see if, make sure everyone's muted besides for me. So, the first exercise, and I can see some people are driving, so you might repeat this later, is to go through and write down, how do you use power in your life? Just take a few minutes to write down. I know, Tom, I felt the winds coming in too. They were like really excited. They were pleased with the laughter we had. Like, how do you use power in your life? And I don't, write down maybe 10 ways, if you can come up with 10 ways that you know how you use your personal power in your life. Now, it could be healing. It could be manipulation. And please don't judge them. Because for me, I know in my own life that I had to learn about my powers as a sorcerer in order to understand how I was in out of relationship with my divine destiny. And sometimes I even think that was part of my divine destiny, to know the nature of myself as a magician in ways that didn't serve me, but I still could get what I wanted. And I'll tell you a story about it after you spend a minute and just think about the last week or two and how you've used your power in your life to get for yourself. On your worksheet, if you printed it out, there's a place for notes on the back. So you could use that, or you could have a journal, hopefully. So just review your last week and think of all the times you said, oh yeah, like I got that parking spot. Well, the contractors all showed up.
Renee.
Yes.
We have a question here. Dee is saying, sometimes I don't even feel like I have the kind of power you are speaking about. Could you please give a few examples?
Do you ever get a parking spot that when you go into the grocery store? When you're thinking about somebody and they call on the telephone? Bridget, you got a couple?
One of
you keep muting yourself.
This is me using my power. One of the ways that I wrote that I actually often engage with is vulnerability.
Is what?
Vulnerability.
Oh, there's that, and there's always that power over, like, if you have a partner and you know their weaknesses and you use power in order to get what you want, like, oh, this is a good day, you know, dad's going to be generous with the wallet, I'm going to go to get an ice cream. We're not talking about the power where you heal somebody from cancer, which is a really nice use of power too. And you know, we're talking about more of the, like, how I get from point A to point B type of situations in here. In the apprenticeship program and in other classes, we go way deeper with looking at these, but, you know, we don't want to get ourselves into a power jam. You know, like if you're taking a wind walk and you're looking for an answer for something and you get a sign from the universe, that's a use of power. A silly one that just popped into my head is that you turn on the vacuum cleaner and suck up all the dirt on the in the carpet. Another use of power. We're just looking at power and we don't even realize some of it sometimes. How about if you pick up your drum or rattle and you go on a journey? That's a use of power. You're transacting with the divine. I know we have an attorney here, so I would imagine she uses her power to get for her clients. Another person here does readings, so they probably tap into this power to give people accurate predictions. Oh, we have somebody who's having a baby. So she's been using the power of her divine feminine to grow a human being. I mean, what more use of power is that? Like to hold yourself responsible to birth another child. To birth a child, not even another child, just a child in general. I know I've got some real power hitters in this class. Anyone want to give me anyone want to dare speak up? Linda, how can you use power in your life?
I don't know if there's another Linda. Is it me?
Yeah, just you.
Okay. All right. Sorry, didn't know which Linda. So.
That's all right. Sorry to pick on you that way, but.
Yeah, no, that's good. So I just finished a week of clients. So it was the recognizing of all the different ways of using power. And then even with the dog. So that's one way. And then another is with my dog being really, I'm working on some ensuring that he has some good behavior. So even it's like, I put my power across and then somebody I love this week, I was very strong with them and said, stop, you know, no more talking about that, you know, very, very full act of power to say that. So it was just, and then how I almost every word I say, how the power behind that and whether it's teaching, whether it's trying to influence somebody, or whether it's trying to avoid somebody, like I've got somebody that was out for a walk and I kind of wanted to avoid them. So it's just the recognition and the flow, how much I always am using my power to create flow. But it isn't, you know, it's like that dance of relationship, exactly as you said, that transacting with the divine all the time and all the different manifestations. There's a whole bunch of them. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me pick on you. There's so many ways. See, we don't even know that we're in a power play with the divine all the time. I have that same thing conversation with my cat. She wants to go out at 5:30 in the morning, and I think it's a little too early with the coyotes out there. So we've had to have a conversation about she can't wail at the door at that hour. I try. Some days it's better than others. But so it's really important to start to think about power. And Linda mentioned something we're going to talk about later about words and power. And there's a new step that I've added into the Wind Knots that you're going to be the first to hear about today. And it was kind of revealed to me when I was doing, it's been coming, but I haven't said it out loud. So this is the first, you're going to hear the new power of some of the Wind stuff. So we were talking about that we wanted to find out that relationship with the power, but then we have to, and Linda, that was a beautiful segue because we're going into this next part of this Wind breath to know that we're not separate. We are nature. And the one of the biggest parts of this work is that, you know, that we became separate when we went from the outside to the inside. We closed that door on our magic. That's where we closed the door. And so now, you know, we've got to maybe put our toe back out in the water or put our toe back out in the wind, as it would be, and test it and try it. I mean, for the last few years, I would be shocked and amazed all the time about that I'd pull the wind out of the wind sack. That would be just the wind I was talking about. And I mean, that's happened so many times that I just can't even imagine to tell you. You know, I had to learn to trust in the wind over and over and over again, because first of all, recognizing those little places of power in everything, but then to build upon that and start to rely upon it, that takes a little bit of time. Because remember, you're not breaking your just your pattern, you're breaking ancestral patterns that go way back in order to regain our magic. So the first thing that if you're struggling, and I don't know who that was struggling with the power, is that you're not alone. There's millions of people out there who aren't on this class, who don't even know that they have a right to power. Like, you know, the opening line of my new book is that, you know, you deserve to be here and you have the right to magic. We all have the right to magic. We just have to remember that. We have to remind ourselves, and, you know, whenever you go to change something, you got to remind yourself over and over and over again that I have an inherent ability to create, and magic is my birthright, which is a whole new set of circumstances from everything else that we've ever been taught and ever been trained, unless we've got a lot of advanced shamans here. So there's the combination of people here who, some people, this is like, wow, oh, I didn't even know that I was disconnected from my nature and my magic. So we are nature, and that is everything, and that's enough. When I was talking about power before, and I was talking about that, that there's also a misuse of your power. Many, many years ago, and I said that I had to learn a lot of, you know, I had to unbreak a lot of bad habits, but there was somebody that I wanted to have a relationship with, and they, you know, they lived across the street, and it was really it didn't all end up well. But one time I did this candle magic where we're talking like in my 20s. So, you know, that's been a few decades now, but I did this candle trick, and then I went down to the river and I tossed the candle in the river, and sure enough, I go home and I was in the yard, but then I decided to go to the mall. And I go to the mall, and I'm down this back hallway. I don't even know why I was behind Sears in the back hallway. But here I come face to face with that person that I had just done the candle magic on. And there was every reason in the world why, you know, that person wasn't the ideal person for me. And the lesson was, you know, Renee, you are pretty powerful. You can create any kind of magic you want, but the magic isn't always worldly. There's a wind god called Imerinin who can create anything he wants in a smithy, and he loses his beloved, and he goes in and he creates a new puppet. And, you know, a puppet is a representation of that person. And it's this gold statue, and it's probably worth lots of money, but it didn't fill his heart. It didn't fill his soul. So as you're practicing magic, you have to be really careful that what you're creating is worldly, creates community, that creates service, that, you know, then the magic is really, really amazing when it starts to really, when it really starts to show up in your life as strawberries you can eat in the garden. So when we learn to exchange that energy with magic, I believe that it happens in the breath. And I believe a step further that not only does it happen in the breath, but it happens in the exchange in the breath. And so why that I believe that's true is that when you're born, your spirit comes into your body. You know, when you come out from the womb, you know, when you get air in your lungs and you start to breathe, you start to have life. You know, there you have a life before. I'm not saying that you don't have a life, but it's more contingent upon, you know, the cord to other people's lives. But as your independent self, when you take that first breath, your spirit starts to shine. When you leave and if there's people like this image shows, when you leave, and some people can see it, and I know I have a couple of people in my group who work with hospice, that last breath goes out and you become lifeless with no wind. And that's why, you know, Ruach, Holy Spirit, it's wind, it's breath, it's spirit. That spirit comes into you through your breath and helps you navigate in this vehicle that we call our bodies for as long as you are. And then when you leave, your spirit goes back to the wind. It goes back to nature. And so the wind and the breath is everything. Your breath provides you access to your magic, and learning to work with that breath in order to have that magic is absolutely everything. And you've been doing it all your life. What we're inviting you to do here today is to do it with a little bit more foresight. So let's take a look at our breath. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes, and I'm going to set the timer just so we have what we know. Hold on. And I'm going to set it for 10 seconds. I want you to just pay attention in your own awareness of what you're doing in that 10 seconds, how many breaths you take, how many breaths out, do you hold your breath, and just really become aware of what happens in your own breath cycle in 10 seconds. Ready? So did 10 seconds go by fast for you or slow for you? Put it in the chat. Did you hold your breath for 10 seconds? Fast. Fast, 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 fast. Okay. Did it go? Okay, went by fast for everyone. All right. Now, we're going to try it a different. Now we're going to try breathing in for 10 seconds, holding it for 10 seconds, breathing out for 10 seconds, and staying empty for 10 seconds. So you can count to yourself 1001, 1002. So breathe in. If you can't get to 10, 5 is okay, 7 is okay. See if you can breathe in. See what happens when you breathe in for 10 and hold it, and then breathe out and hold it, and really pay very conscious attention to this. And I'm not going to set the timer. So of those four states, did you have a favorite? Did you like breathing in, holding it, breathing out? Or were you like me on that breathe out and staying empty? I was like, you know, it's like it's so hard. You'd like take that big gulp in. So if you had that big gulp in at the end, then you're probably not ready for 10. And you're probably thinking to myself, what does this have to do with wind knots? Well, it has everything to do with wind knots, because it's in the gaps that the magic occurs. So learning to move into the gap in order to create change is really what this work fosters. So not all of you have wind whistles, but what we do in the wind work is we start to add the wind whistle to this breathing out process, which is really dynamic. I love it. So say that we're going to breathe in. We're going to do it again. And this time when we exhale, we're going to imagine our breath going out into the belly of the earth, down into like the core of the earth, and really connecting us with, like, you know, the molten lava. All right. So start breathing in. And whatever that comfortable number was for you, go there. And on that wind breath out, imagine bringing the air down out your coccyx bone, out your sacral, down into the earth. Remain empty. And on this next wind breath, then we're going to bring in Eurus, the east wind, the wind of new beginnings, new ideas. And when we breathe out, we're going to actually imagine merging with Eurus, the east wind, so that we can be open to a new experience. And on our third wind breath, we're going to do it again. We're going to imagine connecting ourselves with a big community of everyone who's here and everyone who's ever going to take this class, and holding this space for the sacred wind knot tying. Now, just scan your body from your toes up to your head and see or feel if there's more spaciousness inside now that you've, you know, expanded your awareness out through your breath. And you can just kind of put that in the chat. And do you feel more present? So one thing is like, if there's no other thing you take away from here, is this ability to breathe and become present. Because one thing I know about magic is it's a present moment experience. When I first started doing healing work with people, and I wasn't, you know, really practiced at it, because we all start somewhere. One of the things that I noticed is when I would open sacred space and I'd start to rattle or do whatever I was doing at the time and doing these processes, that I found myself present. And that happened when I would be cooking before that, is that I'd start cooking and I'd find myself present. So it's in these wind moments, these present moment experiences, that we become present and available for magic. And it's from this place of presence that the magic becomes more and more powerful. And so this breathing is, it provides the alchemy. It's like the alchemical ingredient, the breath is the chemical ingredient to turn energy into form. And we all have this capacity. And as we become more and more aware of it, we can channel it into areas that, you know, like I said, I want people to become of service in their communities to other people. You could use it to be self-serving, but, you know, I don't know. I just don't believe that that's why we're here at the moment. I think, you know, the group thing is way more important than being able to, you know, share.